Welcome back to another episode of Silk Flowers and
Paper Mache Hearts with your hosts, Eric Hart
and Ashley Flowers. This week, we're going to get a little nerdy and talk about one of my favorite products, Dragon Skin.
Yay!
Dragon Skin is a two-part silicone made by Smooth-On, and it can be used for a variety of things, so we thought we'd break it down for you guys.
Yeah, I actually just finished up a show where one of the main props was made out of Dragon Skin. It's really, really useful if you've ever used any sort of two-part silicones. Unlike the molding and casting stuff, this is translucent. It looks and feels a lot like skin. You know, you can kind of stretch it and smack it and slam it, and it reacts a lot like skin, and you can tint it and paint it as well. So we use it for fake food, a lot of fake meats, and then a lot of fake body parts. You know, your hands, your arms, your head, your face, all that sort of stuff. It's kind of... It's my favorite go-to product for that.
Definitely. I have definitely used it mostly for body parts, and I've done also a little bit of prosthetics with it as well. And they have different types of Dragon Skin out there. They have the Dragon Skin tin, which comes in a variety of speeds of cure time between 30 minutes to 7 hours. So it just depends on how long you have, what kind of, depending on what kind of viscosity you would like in it as well. They also have Dragon Skin 20 and Dragon Skin 30. And they also have one called Dragon Skin FX Pro, which is one of my favorites to use for prosthetics. The reason I like Dragon Skin FX for that is because it's softer, it's more flexible, and it does really well when it's thin, because for your prosthetics, you are going to want thinned out areas so it blends in with the skin. And you can use another product from Smooth-On called Skin Tight to apply the prosthetic to your skin, and it's all safe and everything. And Dragon Skin itself is very skin safe and, you know, good in that department.
Yeah, and I really like silicone rubber because it doesn't stick to anything. It's really easy to clean. So I figure one of my favorite projects using Dragon Skin. A few years ago, we were doing Having Our Say, and they're cooking this whole dinner during the entire show, and they needed a raw chicken that they have to wash in the sink. So I had my apprentice mold a real chicken out of plaster and then cast it up in the Dragon Skin, and this gave us something that looked exactly like a raw chicken, and then you could wash it in the sink. You know, you could run water over and basically like hose it down, and it cleans up really well, and it doesn't deteriorate, it doesn't, you know, fall apart in the water. So it was kind of perfect for that. I think we also made it, had a little pocket to stuff it full of stuffing. So even if you're like putting real stuffing in it, you can just wash it out. You won't have to worry about like mold growing or it absorbing in or anything like that.
Exactly. And when you're painting it, you're using a silicone-based paint called Psycho Paint, which is also a two-part silicone mixture. And to add the collar to it, you add Slick Pig, which is all of the silicone-based pigments, and it takes very, very little, not a lot, very, very little dab of it into there, mix it up, and you can brush it on your product. You can airbrush it on as well if you thin it down enough, and because it's silicone and silicone sticks to silicone, it adheres very well, and nothing else adheres to it, which is amazing and very exciting.
Mm-hmm. I think it's Silk Pig. I think it's short for silicone pigment.
Is it? Yeah. Silk Pig? Not Slick Pig.
Silk Pig.
It's fine, guys. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
Close. It was close.
Yeah. I got the sample pack of colors, the pigments, a while back. And it's great because they have like common like blues and reds and stuff like that. But they have a blood color and like a light flesh and a dark flesh color. So they, you know, they know you're making it for blood and meat and parts and stuff like that. So rather than trying to like mix up these colors, they provide you with these. And it does. It's like such a small amount because this tiny little sample pack I've used for a number of projects already. And we still have like plenty and plenty of pigment left. You know, I haven't had to break down and buy like a full pack or anything like that.
Yeah, it goes a very, very long way, especially if you are airbrushing something because you're thinning it down even more. But also, as we just said, silicone sticks to silicone. So when you are pouring your Dragon Skin into a silicone mold, you want to make sure you're using your mold release very, very heavily.
Yes.
Because there are times where you're like, silicone, it's fine. Pour it in. I forgot my mold release. And now you have to start all over again.
Now you just have a block of pure silicone.
Yep. You're like, oh, right. That's going to stick together.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just yesterday, I opened a show. And it took place in a diner. It was two trains running by August Wilson. So the culmination of the show requires a ham from a butcher shop. And the guy comes in and slams it down on the bar in this like ultimate dramatic moment. So we needed this ham. So that the show I'd done before, Having Our Say, we had made a foam ham. So we had this mold and it was a silicone mold. And since we had enough dragon skin, I decided we should make it out of the dragon skin. So my apprentice poured up a ham, you know, painted it with the silk pigments and the psycho paint. And it gave us this ham, this hefty, hefty ham that slammed down on the bar with a lot of force, you know, a lot of weight. And it, you know, had that like kind of bouncy rubber slapability to it. So a lot of the audience was like, was that a real ham? Are you using a real ham every night? And it's like, man, we did it. We did it. The mold we used was a silicone mold in a plaster jacket. So we actually used, I didn't have any mold release. This was sort of last second. I didn't have time to order anything. So I looked it up and we ended up using Vaseline thinned down with mineral spirits. Yep. And that it worked. It worked really well. And it was great because we already had that stuff on hand. We didn't need the specialized stuff. What do you use?
Yeah, I've also used Vaseline. I mostly used it for prosthetics. I would put the Vaseline over my plaster mold to kind of help this silicone pop off easier. But you do have to be careful. You don't want to put the Vaseline on thick, because if you do put it on thick, obviously it's going to clump together and that's going to create an impression in your dragon skin. So you always want to make sure you do it very thinly onto wherever you're applying it to.
Yeah. And I've also used a hot air gun to sort of melt it down and get it a little, you know, get the brush strokes out of it, get the fingerprints out of it, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. Also, going back real quick to the silk pig.
Yes.
You can take that directly and put it in your dragon skin if you want to create a base, because your dragon skin is going to come out pretty white.
Yeah, it's like a milky translucent
white. Yeah, it's like, And so if you know, you're doing an arm and you want the arm to have more of a peach skin tone or a yellow skin tone to start, you can add a little bit of that into your mixture before you take the two parts of silicone together. You know, mix it in your part A thoroughly, make sure it's fully there, and then mix it with part B. Stir it up and then pour it. And then that'll give a fully opaque look to it. Then you can add on layers too, which I usually do when I'm doing body parts.
Yeah, it's like a base coat. And it's good too because it's in the first layer and then the layers on top give it this nice dimensional kind of effect.
Exactly. Yeah, one of my favorite projects that I've done with dragon skin would be my Evita body. Mm-hmm. I was doing Evita a few years ago in summer stock, and the director the first day was like, I'm going to need a real body. I want a body. And I was like, all right, let's do it. He was very shocked that I was like, yeah, let's make a body. And he wasn't prepared for me to be like, okay, we're going to make a mold of the actor's face. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And afterwards, he was very pleased, definitely, but it was a very long process. We cast my arms, because we didn't want to hold up the actress for too long, from Body Double, which is another smooth-on product, and that's a silicone rubber. And we also used that to create the face, and we did my intern's ears, because I didn't want the actress to go through a face mold for the first time and have her ears covered as well, because it's a very interesting experience, I will say. I love how she explained it. She was like, it was like I was forced to meditate. I was like, okay, there's one way to look at it. And what's great about the dragon skin, as we've mentioned multiple times already, silicone sticks to silicone. So I could do the ears of my intern and just attach them to the head by just taking the silicone and putting it in between and using it as an adhesive.
Right.
So we kind of like Frankenstein this Evita together and then painting for hours on end. And for the arms, it can get a little tricky with dragon skin depending on what you're doing with the body or the body parts that you're creating or even with food. Luckily for the ham, you wanted that weight. You wanted that smack effect. For the Evita body, she was just laying there. So, you know, she wasn't wailing around. No one was picking her up or whatever. But there have been other body parts that I have created that are thrown across the stage, whipped around, whatever. And you don't want them to have this like bouncy feel, or the actors are like, this was really heavy, or you don't want to spend so much product filling like a whole foot. There are ways you can go around that and you can kind of backfill it. So you can take, for example, you're making a foot. You can pour the dragon skin into your mold and you can kind of do a slip cast.
Mm-hmm.
I love how I'm doing the motion as I'm talking as well.
Sort of spinning it around. Spinning it around.
You move it around. And so once you've got a few layers in there, you can put some flex foam it in or any other kind of foam product from Smooth On, and it will expand so you're not spending so much product and so much money on the product.
Yeah.
The only downfall is you have to be very careful on which one you use and how much you use and if you're back pressuring it or not, because some of the expanding foams will deform your mold a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be very careful that your mother mold is very strong and sturdy, and making sure that you have enough air to release for the, or the foam to release the holes at the top of your back pressuring.
Yeah, we for the ham, we were actually thinking of filling it with something really heavy, like a chunk of metal or something. And we're kind of going through a bunch of different options, partly to add weight, but partly to save on the product because we only had so much.
Mm-hmm.
And then we realized we had this chunk of cured silicone from a product that had gone wrong. It was just like the bottom of a bucket filled with cured silicone. So my apprentice chopped that up and used that in the middle of it. And since silicone sticks to silicone, it just sort of became like the you know, one continuous chunk of silicone. It was great. Mm-hmm. It was perfect. We got to finally use that mistake from a previous project and have a pure silicone thing without spending too much money.
And that's actually a really good trick, even when you're making molds. I know I used to take mold star of old molds that I had used from that and cut them up into little cubes just to use as either keys for my molds or just like little fillers in the corner, just so you weren't using so much product.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, silicone, so why not, you know?
Right.
No one's going to see it. It's not going to affect it because you're using small bits of it and putting it, dispersing it.
Yeah, I think the first time I ever used dragon skin, we were doing the Bacchae. And the whole thing with the show is that they – so the women are sort of put under a spell slash hypnotized, and they think that the queen's son is a deer, and so they tear it apart limb from limb. So then they bring it out. The mother brings it out on stage, and then she suddenly realizes she's holding the body parts of her son. It's horrible, horrible tragedy. And so the director asked the props master, Jay Duckworth, like, I want to use real meat. And he's like, no. And he's like, let me bring you some samples. And if you like them, then we'll use that instead of real meat. So he had gotten the dragon skin and we started doing up body part samples. And so she loved it, you know, because again, love the feel of it, love how it moves, how it looks, all the sort of stuff to make it, to convince her that she didn't need real meat. So then we set to work, like, building all these body parts, you know, sort of trying to figure out, like, what does a body look like when it's torn apart by hand? It's horrible, horrible research and all that sort of thing. So the son, it was played by Anthony Mackie, who has gone on to do some movies and stuff like that. So they actually cast his face. It actually happened. They scheduled the face casting while I was away getting married and on my honeymoon. So I missed all of that. I missed actually getting to cast Anthony Mackie's face. But I came back and they had a mold of it. So I started pouring up some head casts and we were trying all different things because you could just like cast his face and then cut it apart and like, again, using silicone to like glue it to a skull to see like what's going on. And then we just cast a full like face and sort of like a mask draped it on over the skull. Lots of scary, disgusting options that they finally figured out exactly what they needed. But yeah, just like it was weeks and weeks of just playing around with dragon skin. At the time, it wasn't dragon skin 10, 20, and 30. It was like dragon skin Q. And dragons, you know, they had a couple letters. Oh, it was really weird. It was like the fast and the slow. And now they have like all these other options.
There's so many different ones.
Yeah. I still really like the fast stuff because I'm usually like in a hurry.
Especially since we're always in a hurry.
Yeah. It's like, I guess I can understand when you want something slower, but really I need it to cure now.
Yeah. I need this in rehearsal. I gotta move on and paint this by tomorrow.
Need a second layer.
Right. So we've mostly been talking about how we can use dragon skin as a positive, but you can also use dragon skin as a negative and create your mold through that. And you can make glove molds, which if you're unfamiliar with that technique, it's taking like a sculpture, for instance. So you have like a knickknack you want to make a mold of for some reason. You can take the dragon skin and put one layer on it, and then wait for it to cure, add another layer, and go up to maybe like four or five layers. Well, not even five, really. Just four is good. And then you can kind of peel it off. And a lot of people love to use dragon skin because, like we've said, it's very flexible. So when you have something that's small and intricate, it can get into those little details and nook and crannies. And sometimes you have undercuts, so you can't do a block mold or a two-part mold. So this allows you to get into those undercuts and really pull it off very nicely. And also, when you're doing that, I always suggest each layer you do, make it a different color. So take your silk pig. Your slick silk. Who knows, guys? It's a mystery. I'm dyslexic. True story. Anyways, so you can take that pigment, put a dab in it, and then when you go through and you're brushing on your layer, you can tell that you fully have covered your item in that layer. And then when you go to the next layer, it'll be a different color and you'll be able to tell when you're done with that instead of getting lost and be like, I think I got over here, but I'm not sure.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
and it's almost like
I love making glove molds. They're fun.
Yeah, it's almost like taking off a sock. You know, you almost sometimes you turn the mold completely inside out. You just like roll it off. You know,
it's very satisfying when it comes off so nicely. Yeah. And you're like, oh, I just did that.
Yeah.
And then there are other times where you're like, dang it, I forgot about that specific spot. That's going to take a moment.
Now, do you ever use any of the thickeners when you're doing like a brush on?
Like the Thyvex?
Yeah.
I've used Thyvex a few times. And I'm trying to remember of why I used them.
I feel like I've used it for brush on stuff because whenever I use dragon skin, it flows down. Like it'll end up flowing completely off of a vertical surface before it cures.
Yeah. So if you add in the Thyvex, it also allows the drippage to be slower.
Yeah.
So when you brush on a layer, you're not fighting gravity too much.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
And it's kind of crazy because it's like one or two drops of this stuff. It's the tiniest bottle, again, from Smooth On. And you just like put it into your mix before it cures. And it suddenly becomes like, it'll hold onto a vertical surface.
Very thick.
It won't flow anymore.
It gets quite thick. And you can always tell if you messed up your measurements because then you're like, it's not really like thickening very well.
Right. Yeah.
You're like, I screwed up. This is all part A.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. It's always tricky figuring out how much silicone you need because you don't want to mix up too much because it is fairly expensive stuff and you don't want to waste it. So there's a couple methods you can use. But as somebody reminded me, before, since silicone sticks to silicone, if you mix up too little, just mix up some more and keep pouring it into the mold. You know, you could kind of mix it up in small batches and keep filling your mold until it finally gets to the top. As long as you're not letting like dust settle on the silicone or anything like on it, if it's inside the mold, just keep, you know, let it cure, pour some more in, let it cure, pour some more in.
Yeah. It, I mean, if you're doing it immediately, like it should be fine. I know some people worry, be like, oh, there might be a line. You'll see where it changes.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, there is enough to like back that argument up. I think when you're mixing colors for your base, then for sure, if you're not mixing it exactly how you mixed it in the first batch, there's going to be a color difference. But for the most part, you know, just silicone, it's going to stick together. It'll be fine. Now, some of the tricks that I've been taught, and I would love to say I do them, but I am the worst when it comes to it because I get so excited to make molds and be like, it'll be fine. I'll figure it out. And then later I'm like, why didn't I just take the 5 minutes it takes and just measure it?
Yeah.
So there's one trick where you can get a bucket of water and take your object, if it's like small enough, and dunk it in there and see whatever amount of water spills out. So you have a bigger bucket that's dry, and then the bucket inside with the water, you dunk it, you measure the water that spilled over, and that, in theory, is how much silicone you do. And then there's the other trick, which I find so much easier, and if I'm smart enough, I'll do, is just pour your mold with water.
Yeah.
And then measure out how much that is. But if you do that, you need to make sure that you fully dry the mold before you pour it in, because that water will not be happy with the silicone and it'll mess up. It won't cure properly. It'll be all funky.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I just don't measure.
Right.
Because that happened to me once and I got mad and I was like, never again.
Yeah.
Even though I know how to fix it and it's really not that big of a deal.
Yeah. Even if it, I mean, it could mess up the curing, but it also, it just shows up in the final piece. You got the little water droplets because they have nowhere else to go. They're stuck in there. They're trapped in there. Yeah. You gotta, let it sort of bake out, heat it out, you know, dry it out, towel it out, all that sort of stuff. I like the water method, the, you know, before and after in the bucket, or just filling the mold or something like that. Sometimes, you know, sometimes water leaks out of it really easily or something, or you don't want water to get in it. So this is kind of more for figuring out when you're making a mold, but I guess for a cast, you could kind of do this too, but you use like sand or something dry that you could fill into it, and you could put down like aluminum foil or cling wrap or something to protect the surface of your mold, so you're not like cleaning out all the sand. It's not getting in all the cracks, because you know, you can, you don't have to be like super exact. It's like, well, I didn't measure every grain of sand. It's like, get close and then add a little bit, you know, add 10 or 20%, because you know, you're gonna lose some from mixing and sticking to the sides of your container anyway. And then you just measure the amount of sand that fills up the mold and make that much silicone.
Exactly. And I feel that after you do it so many times, you kind of get an idea of, I know this is probably going to take this many small deli cups that I use to measure, you know, I can roughly estimate how much product I'm going to need. I'm going to use that as my excuse for why I don't measure.
Yeah. That's why. Like,
I know
it's all experience. Solid experience.
I can just look at an eyeball. Like, how horrible is that? That's terrible.
I know enough that the trial size kits you get, you know, you're always like, oh, this one's only $30. But I know, like, there's almost nothing you can make with that trial size kit. It's like, okay, if you're doing like a small jewel or something like that, but otherwise you have to get the gallon.
I can get a face out of that and maybe an ear. Ooh, maybe 2 ears.
Whole face.
I think I can get a face and 2 ears out of the trial.
Yeah.
Because whenever I'm making a head, I take a foam head and stick it down in the silicone while it's curing. So then I have a head to work with. So I'm not building a whole head out of silicone.
Oh, well, there you go.
And then put the wig on. You're like, it's beautiful.
Yeah. It's great. A toupee. Look, I'm done.
It's a toupee. We'll comb it over.
You know, funny story. This has nothing to do with dragon skin. Sort of. One of the assistant directors on the Baka, because of all the heads that we had created for that, he needed one for his show that he was doing. And so he's like, what's the cost? What's the cost? And I gave him the cost because it's a lot. And he's like, that's too much. That's too much. And I'm working with him to figure something out. And finally we get to, it's like, so I could buy a Halloween mask and fill it up. And paint it to look like a person. It was supposed to be Medusa. And I found a Beetlejuice mask, like full head Beetlejuice latex mask. Filled it up with foam, wired a bunch of rubber snakes to the top and painted it so that it looked like skin color. And he loved it. It was perfect. So you don't always have to use the expensive products. There's a solution for every budget level.
That is true. That is true. I know we normally like talk about more of like a higher end's more expensive route to do. But yeah, there's always a cheaper way. Mm-hmm. You just have to be okay with what it's going to look like.
Right, yeah.
You know what? Like, you can only do so much with so much product. Mm-hmm. However, I will say I have seen some artisans have $50 and make something so outrageously gorgeous.
Right.
And insane. But it's like, okay, how long did that take?
Yeah. I always feel like for the application, you really can't beat this kind of the dragon skin, you know?
Well, and it just, the detail that it picks up, I think that's why we use it so much for skin or for body parts is because, I mean, the foot that I made a long time ago, actually the first project that I did solely by myself with dragon skin, I created a severed foot. And I mean, it has all of the toe prints and the footprints. I don't even know what those words are. The toe prints, footprints, like all those details in there that made it look so realistic. And the veins you could see and, you know, all of that jazz. It's still to this day, one of my favorite things. I still have it actually in my apartment as decoration.
Carry it around.
And it keeps the crazies away.
Hangs from the mirror on my car.
I would go in New York and I would just carry it on the subway because it was really entertaining. I was like, well, I gotta go to this meeting and I need the foot.
Let me measure this. It's about a foot.
Right? Let me measure that. I wonder how many people I traumatized on those trips without even knowing. Like, some little kid is like in a therapist office right now and be like, I saw the severed foot on the train.
Or at least you could always get a seat.
I hope that never happened.
Sit down on the subway. Nobody sits next to you.
Anyways, more of the story. We love
dragon skin. Yeah.
I'm trying to think of other facts that we can tell about.
Well, I did. I did another project where it was a dead lamb that was roasted, and they needed to eat it, and so the food had to be sort of, you know, I made sort of fake pockets that they would fill with substitute meat and then eat from it. And again, you know, the silicone. It's the same stuff that all your kitchen utensils are made out of. So you could have food on it and it's not picking anything up. And then as soon as the show's over, again, you just wash it down. Like, you could wash it down with water and it's fine. But, you know, water and some dish soap won't hurt it either and get it completely clean. And you're ready to go for the next show. It's really good. You know, it's not like, ooh, it's not like latex, which is people have allergies to and which breaks down over time in the sunlight. And it's not like any sort of these, like, you know, you're stitching stuff together. So the water's getting underneath the skin and into the foam and growing mold and all that. Or like anything porous like wood.
Yeah, it's, and that's the thing. It is very long lasting, which I love. I mean, for example, that foot that I made was almost three years. If it hasn't been 4 years. I don't know. And it's still great. You know, it's very durable. Another thing with it before we paint it is you do want to wash it very well because you want to get all that mold release off. When you attach or when you paint on the Psycho paint, another silicone, it's going directly silicone to silicone. It's not going silicone, little bit of mold release left, and then silicone because not all the paint will be
It won't bond to it.
Those are the words I'm looking for.
Yeah.
It won't bond very well.
Yeah. And the solvent for silicone rubber is xylene, which you could buy it, you know, in the Home Depot or the Lowe's aisle with all the other solvents. And and a lot of them will, you know, it'll clean it without really hurting the silicone. But if you really want to clean it, the xylene is what you use. You know, you wipe it down and then you paint as soon as possible after that so that you're dealing with a pure silicone surface so that it fully bonds. Because you will, like I've done that where I've like tried painting it and it's not fully curing and it's not fully sticking. So it just wipes right off because, again, silicone either sticks to silicone or it doesn't stick to anything.
Exactly. So that also reminded me of another product that I learned about a few years ago at Yale, and it's called Pro Wipes. It's Surfasolve.
Mm-hmm.
And it's these wipes that have these fibers in them. And I love using them whenever I'm using anything smooth-on related. I like to have them on hand because, as you should be wearing gloves, sometimes, you know, some silicone that's not mixed fully or just the part A or part B gets on your arm or whatever, or gets on the table, you know, it spills. These take it off immediately. I mean, you just wipe your hands with them, wipe your arm, whatever, and it's just immediately off. And it's great because I remember trying to get that stuff off with just water and it doesn't work because, you know, it's a silicone.
Mm-hmm.
And so I highly recommend using those wipes because it gets off everything. They're yeah. amazing. Everybody yeah. should have them.
It's the
they're
worst.
They're a little pricey, unfortunately, mm-hmm. but they are worth every penny.
Yeah. I usually treat like all the containers and stirring utensils as disposable. Just you're mm-hmm. not going to be able to clean it. And then like covering the table with plastic or at least cardboard or something. Cause it's like,
yep.
you're not going to be able to clean it up. It's going to stay liquid forever if it's not fully mixed and it's, you know, it's not going to wash up with anything. So it's like, just roll up the table, throw it away, start with a new surface for your next project.
Exactly. Well, guys, that's all the time we have for this week. Thanks for listening in. And we hope you learned some interesting fun facts about dragon skin. And if you have any questions, you know, feel free to email us at propspodcast@gmail.com. We would also love to hear any ideas or questions that you have that you would like us to talk about in future episodes. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Silk Mache. And we also have a Facebook page now, Silk Flowers and Paper Mache Hearts, where we will also be posting our episodes.
And you can subscribe to us on iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play, and check out our website at silkflowersandpapermachehearts.com, where you can find all of our old episodes. And you can also see a link to our Patreon page, where you can sign up to give a regular monthly amount to help cover the cost of this show. And if you donate enough, then we will personally thank you at the end of every episode, like we will now thank Jay Duckworth, our favorite Woo-hoo! Patreon supporter.
This has been another episode of Silk Flowers and
Papier-Mâché Hearts with your hosts, Eric Hart
and Ashley Flowers. We'll see you next time.